beautiful smiling faces. And I am so thrilled. About 5 years ago, your pastor, he complimented me after I had sang a song at the conference in Cedar Lake. And you know, I've never forgotten that. Our giving a compliment, a good word at the appropriate moment, it touches people. And I remember that touched me at the time, and I appreciate that so much. I'd like to sing a song now that I trust will be an encouragement to your hearts. I am of the belief that the word of 2011, tell me if you agree, the word for 2011 is it's been the year of fear, the year of looking at those circumstances in our community, in our world, and saying, oh my, it's getting worse so fast. Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. But I believe that as believers, we're swimming upstream, and our year of fear can turn into a year of blessings. Why? Because we've been trusting the Lord. We've been leaning on Him even harder, and He has shown Himself even stronger. Amen. Thornton?
Thank you, Barb. I have to explain that the compliment I gave Barb, I think, at least it was the one I was thinking, if it wasn't the one I told her, is when she sings, she not only has a lovely voice, but she articulates the words so that you can understand the message. And that is, to me, so important when it comes to singing. Music is a conveyance for a message. And I think she conveys the message very well. Well, at this time, we're going to let Tony bring a message from God's Word for us. And we'll give you till about a quarter after. If you go till 20 after, there's the grace of God is involved there. After that, though, all bets are off. So at this time, Tony, come on up, share God's Word with us. Let me tell you what, let's make this, in case you move around, you can slip that. Ties, slip that maybe in a coat pocket or a pants pocket or something, mm-hmm. And then you're good to go. And, it's up to you. You can...
Well, I know you know me already. And you know that I will make some English mistakes, but please accept my apologies. If you don't accept my apologies, it's okay. As I was saying before, God has a very unique way of working with individuals. I'm one of them. Also, each one of us has a way of interpreting the world. So you read the world around you with your lens, with your eyes. And that explains the whole thing to you. The whole world is explained based on your understanding. Once upon a time, I was a young person, very young. Like my friend here, Jonathan. Honey, can you hear me?
You need
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think this will be just...
A deaf guy like me, I know that.
Well, can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
I have a soft voice. I'm sorry. But anyway, I am a very strong person, physically speaking. But also, in terms of much better now.
Yeah, now you're picking up the hum from the fluorescent light.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's start.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. So, physically, like muscles, I am a strong person. My father used to be one also. And my wife just told me that my personality is, my temperament is kind of strong too. When I say do it, I will keep saying do it. And I will follow you saying do it, do it, do it. And you do it anyway to get rid of me. But let me tell you one thing. In terms of the physical tone, Tony. In Brazil, when I was accepted at the grad level, we have a tradition in Brazil, which is to shave the head. So all my friends, they had their heads shaved, because that was the indication that you had passed an exam. Well, you need to understand that in Brazil, in my city, we used to have three universities for the whole population. Two free universities and one paid private university, very, very good university, but expensive. I was aiming the free one, and my whole family said, you need to pass, if not, you have a hard time. I said, okay, I will pass it, and I passed. So a lot of people competing for that spot, that seat at the university, and I passed. So this is why they shave their heads. It's a kind of, I passed, and I accomplished something, and everybody says, go ahead, and you did a great job. They try to do this with me. especially at the church. We had a bunch of young guys, old to holding my arms and legs, and believe me, maybe 20. I was doing like this, the whole group moving, like, get out of me! And you know why I was so strong? Because I have left the military school, and down there I did exercise 5 times a week. So, and it's still moving, but I'm not doing this today. But my muscles here, they shake sometimes. It's strange. So, the strong Tony is getting old. So, I'm still strong, but I couldn't shake 20 anymore. Maybe 19. Even 9 would be a hard time. So, I'm changing. But one thing is not changing is my personality. It's getting better in some way, even though my wife will not agree. But in some way, I think it's getting better. It's like gold being purified through fire. You know, life teaches you, and you see that, you know what? If I had used all my strength, like Nathan, Jason, with Jonathan. I was close, Jonathan. I tried. But if I had your age and my strength and your opportunities here, I would be at the school very early in my life, especially a Bible school, because it becomes the basis of everything that you do in your life, is the knowledge of God, knowledge of Christ Jesus, His love for you and His sacrifice on the cross, giving you life, not only life, but abundant life. When I was doing my exercise in Brazil at the military school, I tried to be a strong man. I was not aiming, I want to just have some muscles in my arms and some in my legs. I'd be happy. No! The whole idea was to be a strong man. So, if I have your age, Jonathan, is that right? Ah, I got it. I will forget in 10 minutes, but please forgive me. But I would be doing a lot today because time is flying. My friend down there, I forgot your name already, but... Jason?
Jesse.
I remember yesterday seeing a surf t-shirt. So, I said, I'm a surfer too. My board is stainless steel. You look at me and say, what? What? Tony, the great, is getting old, but I'm able to see the need for the truth. My mom is 76 years old, and when she talks with me, she energizes me. When I talk with people, I try to do the same, to energize them. My question is, if we know God and His love, and if you don't believe, believe in me now. I'm getting old, and you too. I will be dead one day, and you will be dead also one of these days. Why not to do the right thing today? Not because someone is telling you, but because you know that is right to do. So this is my message. Is wake up call. Stand and walk and do the right thing. Not because anybody is asking you to do. It's because you know the Lord. The Lord of all lords. The God of all gods. The creator of this whole the universe. If you know Him as your Savior, why not to stand and do His job? Why to wait for someone to do what is right to do? Why we ask... Can anybody do evangelism today? We have a group of people that needs someone to go there and preach the word. Why not you? That means multiplication. Think about each one of you doing this. Energizing other people. They will look at you and say, I want to be like you. And if you are doing, please keep doing it. I'm not criticizing once again. But even though I have this clear understanding that I have limitations in my life, one of them is English, and I don't know why I'm here, believe me. That was not my plan to come to U.S. I took French for 7 years. I took German for about 1 year, 12 months. English, I never was good in English. Never, never, ever. I almost killed a professor with a heart attack. He said, I cannot do anything for you. Você é indomável. Spanish, can you understand when I say indomável? Indomável. I was one of them. How is it in English?
Untamed.
Untamed. They said, we cannot do anything for you. So, why I am here, I don't know. But I know God knows, and this is good. He knows. But even though I have this understanding that God has a message, a plan in my life, and He has a message for me to deliver, in a language that is not my language, and as Moses, I was looking for someone to talk for me, say something to me, like Barb, because through her filtering, she was delivering the message for me. I said, I cannot stand that anymore. Have a seat. The whole congregation said, no. And I did my job. 2 years at Berean Bible Church and a year and a half with a Grace Church in Linton. Okay. Remember, we know who we are. We know the message. And we know what to do. We wake up, I believe, or go to sleep praying, Lord, make me a blessing in someone's life. Or after a good message, what a wonderful message. I'm motivated to read the Bible, especially in that section. I want to know more. Next day, wake up, and everything is forgotten. Everything changed. And the world now is around you, surrounding you, and you need to make your living, you need to make decisions, tough decisions. You need to go to school, and you don't like to wake up early in the morning, and you don't know why you're studying. But remember, today is bad, and tomorrow will be bad also. And after tomorrow will be a deception again. What do you expect living in a world like this? However, your attitude, it changes. Every day will be a blessing, not only for you, but for someone else. What the world tries to do is teach us things that doesn't belong to the scriptures. And the world is very good in doing that. For instance, we are not one-dimensional beings, the way the world teaches. You are fine if you have a good job, or if you have a good car, or if you have a good friend, or if you have a beautiful fiancé, or the opposite. I don't know in English the opposite. I have a fiancé, work for both. Yeah, if you have a nice fiancé, or if you have an iPhone, which is not mine, I don't have an iPhone, or if you have whatever, a computer, or if you have a church to go, you are fine. No, we are three-dimensional beings. We have a body, a soul, that some people call feelings, and a spirit that needs interaction, needs exercise, the way Tony used to exercise. So the same thing with the three-dimensional being, we need to understand that we are body, soul, and spirit. We are not temporary in this world. We are eternal. We have a beginning and we will have an end. And we will face judgment based on our actions and decisions. We are not good at all. I'm a good person. You are not good at all. You are bad, incapable of good words. Good works. You are not sufficient. You are insufficient. You are not mind and soul independent. You are one extremely dependent creature, mind and soul. What permeates your minds affects your lives. Do you know that? Whatever goes here and sticks here will affect your life. Can be in any area. We are not loving beings. We are hating beings. For us, it's easier to hate and keep hating. Oh, I remember. I'm good in that. Isn't that true, Barb? I have an excellent memory, so I remember everything bad she did for me. Everything. The toast was burned. The cup was cold. I was reading. She said, I love you. I said, stop. I'm reading. Now I need to go back and read again. And I forgot of that those beautiful words, I love you, or the food that you wake up in the morning before me to make it for me to eat. We are hating beings. We need help. A help that goes that comes out of this world, and that help is Christ Jesus. We are not in peace, in harmony, the way the world is telling us. You are fine, think nice, think positively, and everything will settle and be in place. No! We are in continuous disharmony, fighting, wrestling for peace and harmony. And you know, if you look around, well, I have been around for, I won't tell you, but it's more than 40 years, okay? And I had covered all the bases up to now. I was an educated person, and I'm an educated person in terms of the world. I was an educated person in Bible, and I'm still learning. I didn't have a job, and I had a job. Now I don't have a job. Now I have a job. So I have been fluctuating, and God has been providing. And I have been meeting people in all my life, and they had more than I sometimes. But they were not in peace, in harmony. They had something inside of them said, "You know what, Tony? I don't know what you have, but it's different. You are a different person." I said, "Yes, I am different." Why you say that? Because it doesn't matter what is happening in your life, you keep smiling. So, what, isn't that expected? Why the world should be bigger than I? Oh, by the way, I think I know why. I have Christ Jesus. So God has been blessing me with a lot of opportunities, with energy that I don't know where it comes from. I am the person that speaks with broken English, but has an unbroken heart, unbroken faith in the Lord. So I keep moving like a train. Don't stay in front of me, because I will grab you with my arms and I will take you inside. One of the most wonderful privileges that a believer in Christ has is to be able to willingly preach the gospel of the grace of God to those who crosses our path, voluntarily or involuntarily. You know what that means? If someone comes to you, means voluntarily. If they don't come, you go there, so that means involuntarily. That is called evangelism. So you know who you are in Christ Jesus. You know that you are an ambassador for Christ Jesus. And you know what to do. Let us open our Bibles in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 13 to 20. Ephesians 6, 13 to 20. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ Jesus to a failing world. We are called to preach the gospel of peace between God and man through Christ Jesus. Within this passage, four distinct steps are shown to us. Preparation, a praying attitude, willingness, and consciousness. Ephesians 6:13. Preparation part. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So this is the preparation part. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ Jesus. Verse 18. A praying attitude belongs also to this call. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. A praying attitude is part of that calling also. When we are called, it doesn't mean that you are automatically ready to go and do the work of an ambassador. You need to study. You need to spend time. This is the preparation. The praying attitude is part of that call too. The willingness, and for me, this is Paul telling, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make new, to make known the mystery of the gospel. In the last part, verse 20, consciousness, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The same is reaffirmed in Romans 1, verses 1 to 10. Let's read from verses 1 to 5. The book of Romans, verses 1, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets and the holy scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace, apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So we are ambassadors for Christ Jesus, and that requires preparation, a praying attitude, requires also willingness. We need to be able to say, send me, Lord. And we need to understand that we don't have always the right words in our mouth to say to those who are waiting for good words. So the praying attitude will equip you with the right words, and it will keep you with the desire to open your mouth. So to be an ambassador is not something easy. And remember that. Jonathan? Jesse? I'm aiming the two ones. Is there anybody that's that age? Not? Okay. But I'm saying, it's not always easy. To the oldest one, to the youngest one here. You need to understand who you are. And you need to have a praying attitude for those who are under your apostleship or your ministry. Romans 1 to 5, verse 5, talks about four things: grace, apostleship, obedience, the faith. But I will be just talking about three things. What is grace? How do you define grace? Is a question to the congregation. Define grace for me. What is grace? Precisely. Unmerited favor. But I would like to tell you that there is more in grace than just the understanding undeserved favor. Grace in Greek is charis. And charis, according to Paul's teaching, is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in one's mind. So the grace of God that is undeserved is so powerful that influences my heart. But remember, in the Greek time, heart was the center of life. But he was talking about the mind, the center of life. Even if your heart stops beating, but if your mind keep working, you can be brought to life. But if your dead brain, goodbye. Goodbye, life. So they had the understanding that the heart was the center of life, but it's the mind. So that grace that we know was so powerful that changed my way of thinking and was reflected in my life. Are you following me? So this is the grace of God that we talk about in every day. We are grace believers. What that means? We are that kind of people that understands that undeserved favor. But that favor was so great that changed my life from the heart of my being, my mind, and my values and everything. And now people can see in my daily life, in my walk. Remember when I asked when you preach the word is when you walk? When I was at the school and they know me that I was a pastor or a preacher, they said, I know who you are, Tony, because you don't say bad names. You are a good teacher. You do whatever is possible for me to know, to learn. And you gave always fair grades. Even when you gave me a low grade, I know it is fair because you provide feedback. I don't know. He said 12:15. Is that correct? But midnight or? Well, I was not quite sure. I'm just asking. But the idea is there is more. There is more than just the understanding. But thank you, my friend, my brother in Christ, that you provide the answer that I was after for. Undeserved favor. But we need to understand that that favor also takes place, takes hold of my life, and controls my decisions. And people will look at me and see Christ Jesus living His life through my life. So that takes me to another point. I don't want to move too far, but it's important to see. How to be a good ambassador is allow that profession to take over of your life. Let me see if I explain better. If I'm an ambassador and someone calls me to represent the United States and Brazil, what should I do? Right now? Sunday. Or I just left office. I need to have some food. Am I right? Or if you're a soldier, an officer, and someone runs to you and says, please help me. Someone did a bad thing in my car. Could you help me?
What time is it?
I need to run right now. My wife is waiting. What do you will do? You will leave everything and you will jump and do whatever is necessary to do. So, I forgot what I was going to say, but I think this is part of this whole. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 to 26. And while you open, it came to my mind what I was going to say. People will read you and they will know you based upon who you are as a person that has embraced the profession or the salvation that you have. So, in order to have people acting or church being full of believers, grace believers, instead of watching TV and saying, I have been watching TV and I think I'm going to the church and this is good. It is partially good. At least you are watching a good movie or good preaching. But also, those who are going to the church needs fellowship. They need to see you as a living walking believer. And when you come to the church and you bring that kind of attitude, praying attitude, a kind of attitude that says, I know you, I have been with you for a long time, and I want you to know that I care for you, my brother and sister, my brother or sister. This is when you are important at the church. A way of bringing people back to church, in my opinion, is telling them that Christ Jesus is still living His life, but now through your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Christ Jesus living His life through your life. When you make decisions in this life, when you embrace the believer status, I'm a new person in Him. He will be the people around you will be looking at you and not seeing you anymore. You are different. And that difference is Christ Jesus. But if you profess that you are a believer and you choose to be fishing instead of going to church or doing whatever the world has to offer, is this the kind of attitude of an officer? Is this the kind of attitude of Christ Jesus Himself? When you pray to Him, what do you expect? An answer, a peace, some kind of response immediately. And we got that immediately response because we know to whom we are praying. So knowing Him and letting that grace permeate our lives, I think, is a way of serving Him. Galatians 5:22-26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness. I have a meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified their flesh, the flesh, with their affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So many things comes to my mind, or came to my mind when I was preparing this message. Provoking one another. I don't intend to provoke nobody or anybody. What is the right one? Nobody or anybody? Or both?
Both.
Both? Okay. I don't intend to be envying. To be envious? Envious of anybody. I don't intend to do that. But you know, it's quite possible. When you don't do the right thing, you are provoked in some way. But let me explain better Galatians. And the way I learn how to explain certain Bible verses is going to Greek, to the Greek language, using, of course, my computer and the tool that is there, and spending time trying to understand and comparing scriptures and coming to a conclusion, and that sometimes is not my own conclusion, but it was revealed that, hey, I never saw this way. In some way, I see this the following way. But the fruit of the Spirit is self-sacrifice, happiness, tranquility, forgiveness, tolerance, kindness, integrity, confidence, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I just read translating from Greek to English. Now comes the question, a little explanation about what kind of love is that? What kind of joy is that? What kind of peace is that? Let me expand. But the fruit of the Spirit is agape love. What is agape love? It's the love that is self-centered. Isn't that correct? Agape love is the love that is self-centered. Isn't that correct? Yes or no?
No.
Thank you. I thought for a second that I was right. That is bad. Well, so, but the fruit of the Spirit is love that cares for the other person. It's joy. What kind of joy? What kind of joy? Exceeding joy. The love of God, the Spirit that lives in us, is the one that goes to you and asks, what do you need? I'm here to serve you. I learned many years ago, the best prayer early in the morning is, Lord, let me be a blessing in someone's life. Let me be a blessing to the ones that has 6 feet tall. Let me a blessing to those who are 4 feet and less. Let me the blessing those who are skinny. Is that right? No. Let me be a blessing in someone's life. Lord, doesn't matter who you sent to me today, but I want to be a blessing in their lives, even to those with whom I don't agree. Which is the hardest part. There's someone that you don't agree coming to you asking for help. Can you help me? Oh, now you ask my help. I remember yesterday. But if you know that that grace has changed you to the point that your mind was completely wiped out, the values of this world and the standards that you had before, they were sent to the back. They were deleted. And now you have a new print in your mind, which is the love of Christ. The love that looks to the someone's well-being. Is that right, English? And you want to provide whatever is necessary for that person to have everything that now you have. This is love. Oh, by the way, I have a family in Brazil. Do you know that I support my family in Brazil? And you know that a lot of Hispanic people, and even Americans, or maybe a lot of Americans, they do the same. They earn money and they provide assistance to those overseas, or out of state, or in state. I don't know. And do you know why? This is that kind of love, other-centered love. But if that is possible to those who belong to the blood family, why not to those who doesn't belong to our family? We are one body. We have one faith. Why not to make that faith available to others? That new life available to others? So, what kind of joy? Exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. Peace. What kind of peace? Is a quietness that leads to prosperity. In what way is that peace that embraces you and doesn't matter what is going on around you? It will lead you to have to gain something and keep gaining the knowledge of God, the knowledge of His love, the knowledge of His control around your life, that He is the one that protects you, that cares for you, that the one that puts you under His wing and takes you to whatever place He wants to take. Goodness, integrity, faith, confidence. What kind of gentleness? Exceeding, excellent kindness. Let me keep moving. Another word that I want to point out from Romans 1 to 5, verse 5, by whom we have received grace. Now you know what that grace is. And apostleship. Do you know what apostleship means? Apostleship comes from a word, apostolo, which means commission. But I found out that you have a commission. You are separated. You receive a commission. And now comes a question, to do what with that commission? What is the answer? When you have a commission, okay, graduation day, you receive your diploma. And you are walking with that diploma, the hat, the gown, proud as you can be. What are you going to do with that diploma? You will open the drawer of your desk, you get the diploma, put inside, hang the cap and the gown, and start a new life, forgetting everything that you have learned. Is that correct? No. We were set aside at the moment of our salvation. We received a commission to preach the Word of God to those that were in the same stage that we were before. And we know that we will be able to do that because our mind will be changed. If it's not changed right away, it will be changed through preparation, to desire, to praying attitude. We will be changing slowly. We'll be migrating to a new stand. And we will do what is right to do. And basically is what we have here, an apostleship. We are set aside with the purpose of being sent out. Are you with me? You are set aside and you are prepared with the goal of being sent out. It's like BBI. BBI trains people, train pastors, and they keep all the passwords. Is that right, Pastor Rick?
Yes, sir.
Nope. He doesn't. They don't keep all the passwords. They send them out.
Sorry,
you are sleeping. Yeah, I know. But the idea is after the Berean Bible Institute train people, they will be sent out with the message. And they will train others. And those trained under that teaching will be sent out again. And now you have continuation, progression. So this is the whole idea. Faith. Faith is pistis. And pistis means persuasion, credibility, authority, belief, confidence. But I found out that pistis go with patho. And patho pacifies or conciliates someone's life. I'm not quite sure, and I'm forgiven for saying that. I was certain before. I was not quite certain later. I became certain again, and right now I'm not that certain again. This is normal when you are studying. But I learned this thing. Faith, which is pistis in English and Greek, works in you. Patho works in someone's life. Is your faith in their life. So when they look at you as an ambassador, trained by Christ Jesus through the reading and studying of His Word, and you are preaching the Word to them, literally or not, reading the Scriptures or just providing some kind of support, that person will look at you and all his or her unsettled life, thoughts and beliefs will come to be pacified. Because they will look at you and say, you know what? I think I will set aside an hour just to be with you. You are amazing. You have something that I don't have. I want to know more about that. I'm coming to my conclusion with more 30 minutes. I will try 5 minutes, okay? Another problem that I see in churches nowadays, not only in churches, but in grace believers, is the praying attitude. I think people are forgetting how to pray. They are forgetting that we need to pray in order to be ready. Praying, verse 18 of Ephesians. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If you look, if you look, 1 Thessalonians 5:14-19. You will find a model. Is that right, Barb?
A model.
You see my dictionary and she keeps correcting me. Of prayer. A praying attitude. But my question is how to pray. Recently, we were invited to have dinner with a couple, friend of us. He is a provost at Indiana State University. Dr. Robert English. Now he is, I think, assistant dean of the technology school, School of Technology. And I was talking with him and I said, you know, Bob, what is going on in my life? Sometimes I wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning or 4 a.m. in the morning or 2 a.m. in the morning and I just cannot sleep. And I start praying. Recently I start praying for everything because came to my mind one of those days that you know, I could use that length of time with nobody calling me, no phone ringing, nothing, just a peaceful environment, and use to call upon God and pray about things in my life and people's life that I know. And you know what's happening? I'm getting addicted to that thing. I'm waking up between 2:30 and 3:30 almost every day, and 99% of that time I pray. I pray for everybody's life. I'm not just praying for things for me. God, change my life, give me that, or improve my English, or do this, or do that. No, I'm not praying. I'm praying for people's life being changed. Lord, I know that that person is a believer, but she is not living the way she should. She is doing a wrong thing, making wrong decisions. Help her to see you. Lord, that man, what is going on with his life? He seems not paying attention to your word, and he reads, but he is not reading. Open his eyes. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, 19. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that no none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Why not to use our free time to pray for one another? Lord, motivate those who are not coming. Motivate those who are coming. Give us new ministries. But don't let people take over. Don't let me to wait until someone takes action. Make me. Is that right English? Makes me to do the right thing. Move me. If I see something wrong in someone's life, gives me wisdom to go to that person and with love and attitude, and the Bible tells us, with someone as a witness, address that problem, but state first, I love you, and this is why I am here, and please accept my apologies, but this is love, and I love you, and I don't want to see you make wrong decisions, but please, tell me if I'm not mistaken, because probably, I need glasses, and even without glasses, closely, I still will make mistakes. And you know why I'm saying that? And I'm almost concluding. I know I have 3 seconds. I was watching my 3 seconds, a Brazilian 30 seconds, okay? Go slowly a little bit. Sometimes. I was watching, I don't remember right now, but it will come to my mind. Someone was teaching at a school, and the kid was misbehaving. And that professor said, that's enough. I will take you to the principal. And he took to the principal. I don't remember exactly all the steps in between staying with the principal and doing the certain things. But at a certain moment, that one person told to that professor, you need to understand one thing. That kid, 3 sisters are pregnant, and they are minor, under 16, under 18. His father is in a jail. His mom is not home anymore. He has been doing this and suffering this and that. This is why he is misbehaving. Sometimes we see a problem in someone's life, in a church, and we want to be useful, like here. Pray for one another. Help them. And we go to them with a witness and say, look, I'm seeing something wrong in your life. You're not coming to the church, and I want to encourage you to come back, and I know you are enjoying this, enjoying that. Would you please let us know so we can pray better for you? This is the right way of addressing a problem instead of make judgments, is to ask, but also provide assistance. We as a body, we need to do that. This is how people used to pray. Bowing the knees, looking up, lifting up the heart, pouring out the heart, crying to God, drawing near to God. Are we doing this? Hear, O Lord, Psalms 107:7, crying to God, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me." This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of his troubles. Keep that in mind. A praying attitude, a correct praying attitude, is the key for a holy life, is the key of serving the Lord. Lord, give me wisdom. Open your word. Give me understanding about people's need, and let me be a blessing in their lives. I know you, and you know me. I want to serve you. Finally, I want just to go to Romans 12:1. I will read in English, and I will read after using the Greek dictionary and extracting the truth that is there in Greek. And please, if you are almost sleeping, hold. Is that what I mean? Hold a little bit more. What I mean is, don't sleep. Romans 12, 1-3 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." I went to Greek, and I dig, is that English? I dig out. You did too. I knew it. Okay, so bear with me. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." I parakaleo you. I call you near, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye periste me, that ye stand beside and offer as recommended your bodies a living sacrifice, not suschematizo, not fashioned alike or conforming to the same pattern of this world, but be completely transformed, changed, like a butterfly, metamorphosis, by the renewing of your mind, of your nose, not nose, but your understanding. Understanding by exercising the truth, that ye may dokimazo, that you may discern, examine, learn what is that good and acceptable and telios, and complete and very applications of labor growth, being mental and moral character, leading to completeness, like a full age, a full man, complete. This is what I'm saying. My values are changing because I'm getting old. Jonathan, Jesse, don't expect answers from all the places today. You will not find them. But trust in the Word of God. Trust in those who are older than you. Don't move away. Don't listen to those that has the same age that you have. Believe me. It's like if I remove these glasses and I call you, let's go to buy ice cream. I will drive. Would you trust me? Listener, I just removed my glasses. The analogy is the same. Look to those who are older than you and say, is this right? give them a chance. Let them ask. Let them answer. Because those who are here are your friends. Another thing I want to say, when I was in your age, I didn't like when someone was telling me such thing like that. Trust the old folks. I said, oh man, old folks, but they know nothing. They don't know even how to send an email. They don't know anything. That was Tony. But now I look at you and say, what a precious treasure we have here. It's gold. Believe me, you are gold. All of you. The old folks, the young folks, we are gold. And we need to be purified. The first thing is praying. Put yourself available. Having that attitude of fighting attitude for the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the word of God. But let the word of God permeates from your body and touch people's lives. This is the fragrance of the Word of God. Do you remember this fragrance? I think it's Ephesians, I'm not sure, Philippians, that talks about the fragrance of God. We are His poema in Greek. We are a poem that people will read and say, it's perfect. I never thought that English would be so beautiful. I never thought that Portuguese would be so beautiful as when you write a poem. I never thought that a human being could be wonderful like you are. But knowing myself, that transformation, it didn't come from your positive thinking, but came from some external entity. And this is called it, what is called it? It is called God. It's called Christ Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we had of coming to this place, this church, and study your word. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for all our fellow workers, our fellow soldiers that congregate in this church. Thank you for Pastor Rick's teaching and his style. And thank you for the saints that meet here. They are amazing believers. They were with me for almost an hour and a half without complaining, but with a loving attitude. I smile in their faces, looking at your scripture, your word, the Bible, and ready to apply this truth tomorrow or even today. Thank you so much for now, Barb and I, we are energized by the example that this church showed us. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. That is the one that gave us the understanding and enable us to preach your word. In Christ Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Father.
Okay.
I guess they liked you.
Thank you.
Whenever I go away to a different church, it's an encouragement to the saints there to know that there are other men besides their pastor who believe and teach the gospel of the grace of God. And so what a blessing it is for us to see the same thing. And we sure appreciate Tony and Barb being with us today. One more thing, Karen, can you tell us what you're going to be bringing next Sunday? And what I woke you up, didn't I? and what you'd like us to bring? Because we did announce earlier that. Oh, we like that.
Yeah, we just actually closed our restaurant. We sold it. So we are taking a bunch of the food we had left over and probably bringing like roast beef and mashed potatoes and pasta and salad and pasta. Yeah, well,
that sounds.
We'll bring a ton of food. So,
that sounds. That sounds pretty complete, except maybe desserts and.
Yeah, somebody wants to bring a dessert or something, a bottle of
and beverages.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right. Sounds very good. Let's stand and let's show Tony and Barb that they are part of the fellowship here as we join together and sing our closing hymn number, what number is that? 35, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Stand as you are able, sing with me, number 35, and we can sing this one a cappella, Barb. Number 35, just the first verse of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Amen. Thank you. We'll see you at the door. Almost lost my stuff. Oh, sure. Where are we going to be for it? Here?
Right there?
We'll be right down. So I
I'm going to go to the next one.